This program is presented by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland, Michigan. This presentation coincides with programming on Midland Government Television, covering government affairs in the City of Midland.
Okay. Good evening and welcome to our December 17th, 2018 meeting of City Council. This evening we have some scouts who are with us. They're from PAC 3758 from Plymouth. And they are going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this evening. So would you all please stand? All right, gentlemen, whenever.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well done. Thank you, guys. Thank you. All right, Selena, would you please call roll?
Honorable Mayor Donker?
Here.
Councilman Hall?
Here.
Councilman Arnosky?
Here.
Councilman Wasbinski? And Councilman Brown Wilhelm.
All right, thank you, Selena. Does anyone have a conflict of interest with anything that's on our agenda this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. All resolutions marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and will be enacted by one motion. There'll be no separate consideration of these items unless a citizen or council member so requests during the discussion stage or the motion to adopt the consent agenda is indicated. If there is even a single request, the item will be removed from the consent agenda without further motion and considered in its listed sequence in regular fashion. Can we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Have a second?
Aye.
All right. Is there anyone, would you like an item removed from the consent agenda? Anyone from the public want an item removed from the consent agenda? All right, then seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, that passes 3-0. This evening we have a public hearing that has to do with the police department budget, and Officer Goulet is here to introduce that to us.
Deputy Chief. Same Deputy Chief.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, no, it's not okay, because he's more than an officer. He's the deputy chief now, and he should be addressed as such. So Deputy Chief Goulet is here to tell us about that this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of council, City Manager Kay. I'm here tonight to propose a budget amendment in response to the passage of the Midland County School Resource Officer Millage. As you know, as I'm sure you all know, the voters passed the school resource officer millage for Midland County last month at the general election. What that means, passage of this millage, it's a levy of up to 0.4 mils. It's expected to generate $1.3 million the first year. Those funds actually became available December 1st. This year and will be available through December 1st of 2021. The millage will support 7 school resource officers, 3 for the Midland County Sheriff's Office, 4 for the Midland Police Department, and the funds will provide initial startup costs for 5 employees, their patrol vehicles, and their uniform and gear. Midland Police Department currently has 2 school resource officers assigned or involved in the school resource officer program. We have one at Midland High School and one at Dow High School. Prior to this millage, they've been funded by the police department, included in their budget, and funded out of the general fund. With the passage of the millage, we will add 2 additional school resource officers. They would come from within our current personnel, and by filling those slots, it would then create 2 openings within our staff. So it would require us to obtain 2 new full-time police officers, which would then require a budget amendment to our current 2018-2019 fiscal year budget. All 4 school resource officers and expenses will be funded by the special millage. As I stated, that money is currently available. In order for us to access this and move forward with this program, we need to request a budget amendment to our current budget. Budget amendments requested to our budget would be an expenditures of $210,500. $152,000 of that would be for additional labor expenses. As I mentioned, our two current school resource officers are already funded or budgeted for the current budget. An additional $20,000 for uniform and duty gear for outfitting two new school resource officers and outfitting two new full-time employees. An addition of $38,500 for vehicles. What we're hoping to do here, save some money instead of purchasing new vehicles. We're going to utilize two vehicles that are currently in our fleet, but due for, they would, without this program, they would have went, would be going to auction. Instead of sending them to auction, we're going to refurbish them and have them utilized by the school resource officers. But we also need to equip those vehicles, cameras, computers, printers, radar, equipment necessary for the school resource officers to perform their duties. And then we have the vehicle rent, maintenance, the maintenance agreements that come with our vehicles. So passage of the millage would create revenue of $370,000, $304,000 labor for all four school resource officers, $20,000 uniform and duty gear, $46,000 for all four school resource officer vehicles. So as a result of all this, the Midland Police Department is requesting a 2018-2019 fiscal year budget amendment to recognize increased expenditures of $210,500 and increase revenue by $370,000 to provide budgetary authorization for the two additional full-time officers and recognize the new revenue from the County of Midland School Resource Officer Program. Any questions about any of that?
Does anyone have any questions?
Chief, Deputy Chief.
There you go. All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So this is a public hearing. I will open the public hearing. Is there anyone who would like to speak on behalf of the request? Anyone opposed? All right, seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. And Selena, would you please read the resolution?
This resolution amends the General Fund 2018-19 budget to recognize increased expenditures by $210,500 and revenues by $370,000 to provide budgetary authorization for the two additional full-time officers and recognize the new revenue from the County of Midland School Resource Officer Millage.
Do we have a motion to accept the resolution?
So moved.
A second. Discussion.
I think it's just part of following through with what the taxpayers had voted to do a month or so ago. And, you know, it's taking advantage of it. And I think one question I had is whether this is going to fully cover our costs, because it is coming from the county. And I did receive an answer earlier that it is. So for us, it's a net neutral from a budgeting perspective, and it's providing additional protection in the schools, which is what the community wanted.
Any other comments? All right, then, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, that passes 3-0. All right, now this is an opportunity for public comment. Does anyone have comment on an issue that is relevant to council business but not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move on to item number 3, which has to do with a traffic order. And Mr. Fredrickson is here to tell us about that.
Good evening. So this evening I'm here to speak about the traffic control order P1801 on Broadhead Drive. We had received a request several months ago to review the parking along Broadhead Drive from the Jefferson Avenue intersection to Miramis Circle. We forwarded this on to our city's consulting traffic engineer, who reviewed the area and the on-street parking. City's traffic consulting engineer determined that Broadhead Drive should be posted for no stopping, standing parking from Jefferson Drive to Miramis Circle. This was presented at the November 12th City Council meeting, and then additional information was also requested prior to taking action at that meeting. So that's what we're here to talk about today, that additional information, provide that feedback that was asked for. So by way of background, Broadhead Drive is about 2,900 feet in length, and it serves as the single point of access to approximately 70 residential homes within the subdivision. With only a single point of access for this many homes, it's potentially vulnerable for disruptions that may block the entrance. Broadhead Drive, unlike many of our streets in town, has a median island right at the entrance there from Jefferson Avenue to Miramar Circle. This effectively narrows the road on either side down to 18 feet between the curbs. Sidewalks are on both sides of Broadhead Drive. So there's an image of what the intersection looks like and where the traffic control order would be placed, with Jefferson being on the left and Miramar Circle up towards the right of the image. It was observed by a traffic control engineer, or traffic consulting engineer, that when vehicles are parked on the roadway, there's insufficient width for motorists and emergency vehicles to access the neighborhood. So what have we done since the November meeting? We met with the Midland Public Schools as requested to review and consider options for bus stop locations. We did receive a written response from that request from the Midland Public Schools. That written response has been included in your packet. And in summary, they're concerned about turning around. They like to avoid turning buses around where possible due to safety concerns. And then there's also the consideration of being consistent across the district, and a bus stop at Jefferson, at the intersection of Jefferson and Broadhead, is consistent with what they do elsewhere throughout the district in terms of cul-de-sacs and dead-end streets. In addition, we reviewed this again with our traffic consulting engineer, and it remained his recommendation to pursue the no stopping, standing, and parking on this section of Broadhead Drive. We also discussed alternatives, and one alternative that in his perception is reasonable would be to not install the no parking, stopping, standing on one side of the street. This does not address the congestion issue and the conflicts that arrive from parking on a narrow street, but it does provide a one-way access to the neighborhood. So at least one side of the street would be open if emergency vehicles had to come through. The resolution before you is to make traffic control order P1801 permanent. And also included was the additional information from the presentation from last time and the comments from residents that we've received during the temporary time of the traffic control order. And with that, that's all I have on that one.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Fredrickson?
Madam Mayor, if I may just ask one, was there any discussion on whether it made any difference as to whether it was the north or south leg, if it was a one-side only posting?
There was some preference towards leaving the southern leg as no parking. The northern leg, people are coming out of the subdivision, mm-hmm. and that allows a little bit higher visibility as people are coming from the subdivision up to that stop sign. And so you can see that, and if cars are parked there, you can see that and readily make that maneuver, as opposed to if you're turning from Jefferson onto Broadhead, you can't see all the way down, and so you potentially could get cars, if cars are parked there, you potentially could cause a hazard there. Okay. So it was leaning more towards no parking on the southern leg, if you did one side or the other.
So how are we going to determine which one in the end? Because the resolution says it shall be prohibited on both sides, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, so the recommendation still from the traffic consulting engineer was to prohibit it from both sides. Mm-hmm. An alternative was to restrict it only to one side. The resolution, if that is the direction, my understanding is that resolution could be modified. To listing instead of both sides, it could be listed, if it's council's direction and decision, could be listed as only a single side. And you could list the north or south, whichever one you'd
but
like.
But would we need to list the north or south?
To make the traffic control order, yes, we would need to list either north or south.
All right, so it would be...
That way it would become... enforceable, and we would have that direction. So if one side or the other is selected, if it's not selected to go with both sides, we'd have to select either the north or south, and it was the recommendation to go with the south.
Okay.
If that direction was chosen.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Fredrickson? All All right, thank you very much. Any comments from the public? All right, seeing none, Selena, would you please read the resolution?
This resolution approves traffic control order P-18-01 that stopping, standing, and parking shall be prohibited on both sides of Broadhead Drive from Jefferson Avenue to Miramist Circle.
All right, can we have a motion to accept the resolution?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, first and second. All right, discussion. I think, Brad, we had some, I know that Congressman. Wow.
Oh. Well, you've elevated her tonight.
I can't get a chief or a deputy chief. Now I'll make a congressman. So Diane can't be here this evening. Would you, she had some comments.
She did. Each of the councilmen have a copy on their desk, but for the record, Ms. Brown-Willem did write in and advises of her thoughts on this particular issue, just to be known. Obviously, she does not have a vote not being here this evening, but wanted her thoughts known on this. So her email wrote, or included the comments, I should say, "I would like to provide my position regarding the traffic control order for the intersection of Broadhead and Jefferson, which is in Ward 4. Based on the response from the MPS Associate Superintendent, they will monitor the ridership for age levels, but they will not make changes at this time due to point one, being state transportation code supports elementary students walking down side roads of up to 1/2 mile. And point two, the impact of making changes in the middle of the school year. The proposed recommendation for a traffic order that prohibits parking on a single side of Broadhead, so the alternative that Mr. Fredrickson has mentioned, is a solution I support for the following reasons. Number one, it allows parents to take children to the bus in the morning and pick them up in the afternoon. And two, continues to provide access to the neighborhood during school pickup and drop-off times. It is important to remember this is an approximately 30-minute occurrence twice a day during the school year versus an all-day, everyday traffic congestion issue. Please share my feedback with the rest of council and do not hesitate to contact her if there are questions." So procedurally, you want some advice and direction?
I think the alternative presents us with an opportunity. You know, our goal here is safety, and it's safety, you know, safety for the kids, it's safety for the residents who live there, so if there's an emergency, that traffic can get in and out, and certainly, you know, safety for drivers, that, you know, people, you know, going in and out of the subdivision. This gives us a little bit more flexibility. I don't think it's the best option ever, but it does provide us with, you know, an alternative. And of course, we could see if at the end, if this doesn't work after a while, if again, like all things, I think this would get us to where we'd want to go, but if it's not working down the road, come the end of the school year, you know, we could possibly evaluate it again. So I would move that we provide, that we amend the resolution to include the alternative with the south side being no parking on the south side, but parking would be available on the north side.
Yeah, I generally agree with the importance
just,
of
this. Just a point of order. You do have a motion that you just made, so you need to second that before continuing the discussion.
I second that.
Okay. Sorry, Steve.
Okay. So we have an amended motion. I can have a discussion?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay.
Please.
I agree with the south side being more important in terms of prohibiting parking. One thing I am concerned about with the other side, though, is having parking where the islands are. I think this right now, the control order goes back a considerable distance beyond where the islands are. So on the north side, I would almost like to see it for at least the distance of those islands where it narrows the road on the exiting. I forget what the distance is, but Josh could probably remind me. Yeah, we had that's Main and Garden.
So behind you, I set up the image of the intersection of Jefferson, or of Broadhead Drive to Jefferson. The islands there, again, Jefferson on the left, Miramisk Court just off the sheet to the right. And the islands extend for the distance that you can see there.
So the no parking goes all the way to mirror mist?
It goes up. Currently, the way the traffic control order was written, it was both sides from the intersection of Jefferson all the way to Mirror Mist.
Okay, so the islands do extend nearly
to Mirror Mist, yes.
I guess I'm still a little bit concerned about having a narrow lane of traffic. I think you do have the emergency vehicles being able to access on the south side, so that we solve that by the amendment as proposed. Mayor, you raise a valid point about changing it if it becomes a problem. So I think I'd like to give it a try with respect to, you know, allowing parking on the north side. So I would be supportive of the amendment with the idea that if it becomes a problem, we come back and revisit it. Because that is, after all, what the consultants are telling us that we should do from a safety perspective. So we have a little bit of conflicting safety concerns here. So hopefully this compromise will work out.
Okay, any other comments? Then are we ready to vote on the amendment?
So you're voting on the amendment itself initially?
Yes.
So that would restrict the no parking, standing, whatever, stopping to the
south?
South.
Correct. Right.
Only.
Only.
Right.
All right.
So.
Ready to vote on that, on the amendment?
Yes. Then
all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, so the amended resolution passes 3-0.
Yes.
So that's the amendment. Well, again, technically you've just amended the original motion.
Right.
So now the motion that's in front of you is to pass and make the temporary or the traffic control order permanent, again, subject to being revisited in the future, but for that portion only. Because you have two motions that are on the floor at this moment, or had two.
Okay.
Help me out, Jim.
Is that right? So then we need one more vote.
The motion's been amended, so now the motion has amended the resolution, so now the resolution deals with the north and south side, with the south side being prohibited and north side being allowed and being revisited if there's a problem.
All right, then.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. So you're back to, effectively, we're back to Steve and then Pam's motion as amended, which your first motion just did, so.
Okay, so okay.
You don't need a motion. It's already on the floor. You just need to take now a vote on that motion that's already on the floor.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Okay.
We've amended.
Sorry, it's always confusing.
We've amended
when we
and
do
we've
those.
Passed.
Okay.
Whew. All right. Now that takes us now down to item number 5, which is a construction progress report. And Josh is here to tell us about that also.
Good evening. So this is where we get to present on the work that's occurred around the community on public infrastructure. It's our 2018 construction progress report. So annually we prepare a construction progress report through the engineering department that provides city council and the community information regarding the progress of planned construction projects. Each year new projects are funded under 5 funding categories. And these include the following: major streets, local streets, sanitary sewer, water, and miscellaneous general fund projects. Construction of approved projects is staggered, with some being completed in the summer that the budget is approved, and some being completed the following year. So this report is consolidated from the project priority reports approved by City Council during the 2017-18 and the 2018-19 budgeting cycles. Primary funding behind most of our street reconstruction projects is through the countywide road millage. We have 2, and that's the primary source of our current funding for construction projects. Other funding includes state funding through the gas and weight tax, and occasionally we also receive other funds to the city for construction. And one project in particular that we'll talk about, the South Waldo project, was funded out from additional dollars provided to the city from outside either of these sources. So our construction projects are designed both in-house and by consultants as needed. And oversight of construction is performed by city personnel. And then we utilize, and especially this year, we utilized widely consulting engineering firms to do construction support due to the large volume of projects that we had. That really gets us some benefit of being able to have that flexibility as project numbers fluctuate up and down. And construction is completed by contractors under competitive bidding process. So we bid out each of our projects. And most local street projects and a few of our major street projects had water main replacements done as part of the street reconstruction work. And the majority of our projects are complete that we had planned for this year. So this is just a quick overview of the city. I just want to highlight that all of the colored streets, the red slash orange and blue, are all of the streets that we had construction projects on during the course of this summer. So as you can see, just from a high level view, we were around town quite a bit with a lot of projects. Overall, we had about $4.6 million for major streets and $2.6 million from local streets. Water was projects worth about $3.1 million. This year, we did not have any sanitary sewer, direct sanitary sewer projects. And then the miscellaneous general fund projects, we had about $200,000 worth of projects associated with that. That was like street lights and parking lots that we'll talk about. And for a total of about $10.5 million worth of construction work this summer. So I'm going to go through our street projects that we did, show some of the highlights. I won't go through every single project, although that'd be exciting for me. We'll try and hit the highlights. So this is the list of major street projects that we did this summer. It included Airport Road. Airport Road was a little bit different this year. We had reclassified that through the state and combined it with a county project. And so the county actually bid that out through the state, and it was a combined project. We were able to capitalize on some state funding and save some of our original expenses because we capitalized on the available state funding that was there. So another project was Carpenter Street, the East Lawn Drive, Orchard Drive. We had two projects on Waldo Avenue, and we had a project on West Wheeler Street. First one I want to talk about is one of the projects on Waldo. This was a reconstruction from Ashman to Whitewood, and it included water all the way up to Wheeler. So a few of the pictures. The water project, this was our large diameter water main that was installed. There to the left, it's a valve, a water valve that gets installed on that to help control the water. The emphasis behind this project is to help increase the water reliability and pressure up in the Northeast District. So this is really phase one of getting additional water up to the northeast part of town. And on the right there, they're installing that valve onto the water main. From a perspective, that diameter of the water main there in the left picture is a 24-inch diameter water main. So they installed about 5,000 feet of that. So quite a bit of water main. We also, as with most of our projects, we address the sidewalk ramps. We install them, we reconstruct them to current ADA standards. That's what's shown on the right. On the left is a milling machine. It's milling off the couple top inches of asphalt, leaving the remainder underneath it, and then on the right, paving over the top of that. So that's one of the methods that we talk about is milling and then repaving. So a couple pictures of pavement work being done on the left and then the finished product on the right. So that project really encompassed our typical project of water main, street reconstruction, curb, sidewalk. And Carpenter Street was very similar. This included water main, sidewalk, curb, and street repavement. And here's just a single shot of a picture of one of the intersections that was reconstructed during this project.
It really is kind of pretty, isn't it?
I think so. You know, I think, you
it
know,
looks nice.
Brand new asphalt, brand new paint with the beautiful blue sky, I think it...
warming the engineer's heart by saying that.
I think it's looked good, so. Another large project that we had on major streets was our South Waldo project. This one was tied to the closure of Saginaw Road. And this project stretched from Bay City Road down to Saginaw Road. It involved, we'll show some pictures here. So this is the intersection of Bay City Road. We redid the signalized intersections there at Bay City Road. We added a right turn lane. I didn't quite get a good picture of, so I'm not showing that, but we repaved everything there. We did install new traffic signals, and this is just a couple images of the work being done to install those traffic signals. This is for the base of those signal poles. And a couple pictures of the new pavement, and then the new the intersection that has a new traffic signal. This is the Salisbury intersection. Previously, it was just always stop controlled, and with the traffic coming over from Saginaw Road, it was modeled and needed as needing a traffic signal, and so that was installed as part of this project. Wheeler Road between Saginaw and Jefferson was also reconstructed. There on the left is the paint machine. That's how they install the paint. They spray it down as the truck drives by. And then on the right is the finished product, with street reconstructed and curb associated with that. This project was also a mill project, similar to what was done on Waldo, where you just grind off the couple of top inches and repave it. So that was the highlights for our major street. On local streets, we had quite a few projects. We had Adams Street, Chapel Lane, Gibson Street, Manor Drive, Pomeranke Road, Richard Court, St. Nicholas, Sayre, West Collins, and Woodview Pass. And many of these included water main. What I wanted to talk about is Chapel, between Acoma and Jefferson. Now the water main installed on this project, over on the right, those blue pipes are the water main. This was a smaller diameter than what you saw on the Waldo and what was installed on Carpenter. This is really just for the neighborhood to service the neighborhood. And I believe that was a 10-inch water main that got installed there. So they're on the right, they're installing the water main, digging the trench. On the left, that's the other method in which we remove pavement. That's a pulverizer. So they're pulverizing or crushing the asphalt and basically mixing it up with the aggregate underneath. So two different ways to basically break up the existing surface to put new material down.
Josh, quick question for you on that water main that we just looked at. Yeah. Where is the existing water main located? And this is obviously, these people still have water in their homes.
Yes, and so what we do is during the design process, we identify where the existing water main is at, and then we identify where space is so that we can install that. So the DEQ requires that we're 10 feet away from the sanitary sewer. So our real estate is very important to us. And I believe on this one, we started out on the north side with the existing, and it went to the south side of the road.
And what happens to the existing water main? Is it torn out or left in place?
No, our practice has been that it remains in place.
Okay.
So then the water department comes through and they disconnect all the services and connect it up to the new water main. So houses are without water for a short duration, but it's less than a day that, it's a few hours in the time that they dig the hole, reconnect their line to the new main and disconnect it from the old one.
And once it's operational, that pipe is completely full of water?
Yes.
As was the much larger one on Waldo?
Yes. Yep. Okay.
Seeing we're talking about those pipes, what is that pipe made out of?
It's plastic. It's a PVC, so it's a plastic pipe. So we installed mainly two types of pipe, and I'll actually have a picture of a third type of pipe. It's a plastic pipe, and the other type, the one that you saw in Waldo, is a metal pipe. It's a ductile iron.
And is it lined with a plastic pipe?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
It's a metal pipe. And so we basically install either a PVC pipe or a ductile iron pipe. And the majority of our pipes up until about 5 or 6 years ago, we primarily installed ductile iron, but then PVC became more reliable and more cost effective, and so we're installing more and more of that as we go. It's a little bit easier to install, it obviously weighs a lot less, and so it works out pretty well for us.
I have a question about leaving the existing pipes in there.
Mm-hmm.
Versus filling it in with soil, or how sturdy, what's the time frame on that, or for possible breaking down or cracking or rolling in any way?
So when we've been replacing water main, it's been our typical practice is to leave that pipe in place, and that's the typical practice for most communities. It's very costly to fill it, say with a slurry or something like that. And over time, you know, we're not too concerned about it degrading in the sense of collapsing and causing us issues.
Is it hollow
from
inside?
Water, yes, it's still hollow.
Okay.
What we're more concerned about is the real estate that it takes up. It obviously okay. takes up space, and we can only have so many things in one space. And so, but so far we've had enough space in order. And occasionally we do have a project where we do need to put the water main where the existing one is, and we need to provide temporary water to folks during that time. And so we really try and maximize the use of our real estate as we go through with these projects. Okay. So again, the finished product on Chapel, just a couple looks of that. Again, nice new asphalt. I wanted to talk about Pomeranke Road, this intersection with Vance. We did a what we call a safety project there. In the past, Pomeranke Road, or Vance, the intersection of Vance and Pomeranke, that intersection got very wide. And you could go out there and watch vehicles. Basically, it's just one big giant curve to get onto Pomeranke from Vance Road, and they'd take it at high speeds, and it became a safety issue. And so what we did with this was we installed the curb and the guardrail and more or less connected up the road in more of a traditional intersection format versus a very large, wide intersection that allowed high speeds through there. So we got some public feedback on that from the neighbors, and it sounds like it's really working out for them, and they're appreciative of that. So another project on Local Street, Sayre and St. Nicholas. Again, we redo sidewalk ramps whenever we go through projects to make them ADA compliant. On St. Nicholas, we replaced the water main as well. And that was one where we actually had to put the water main back where it was because we were limited on space. Gibson Street, just another reconstruction project there, replacing pavement and curbs and sidewalks, sidewalk ramps. Manor Drive, this is over by Barstow Park, and the lower right picture there, we redid the parking, the on-street parking there. It used to be just a parallel parking along the street. And as part of this project, we took advantage of the time with the contractor there to introduce more angle or perpendicular parking and expanding that. So that would make parking and accessibility to the Barstow Park more readily available. It's got a few more parking spots, and you're kind of out of the road rather than parallel parked to the road. We did two water projects that were water-only projects, one on Cambridge Street in front of Washington Woods, and one on Wackerly Street between Sturgeon and Sturgeon Parkway. And I just wanted to talk about the one on Sturgeon, or on Wackerly, between Sturgeon and Sturgeon Parkway. This one, we installed the water main through a method that we don't typically use. Typically, we're digging a trench and installing the pipe in that trench. Here we used a trenchless method. And basically they have a machine that augers a hole as it goes through the ground and then pulls the pipe into that hole, and so you don't have a trench dug open in the road. So here's a picture of that. On the left, that black line is the pipe, and that's another type of material we use. It's HDPE, it's basically a plastic, and that's just going, they bore it through. And this we had to do in part because we went under the creek. Goes right underneath the Sturgeon Creek there, and so we needed to get a certain distance underneath the creek. And it was more cost effective to do it this way rather than trying to divert the water and dig a trench across the creek. On the right, the shadows kind of hide it, but it's a big long, this pipe, because they pull it through in one pull. And so they fuse all of this pipe together. So they've got about 1,000 feet of pipe all connected, and they pull it through that hole that they've bored through the ground. So kind of an interesting method, something we don't do a lot. We kind of selectively use as needed, but it's less invasive, and it benefited us from having to impact the creek, and so it was a useful method. So
is it more costly?
It does cost a little bit more on the surface. And that's why we use it selectively. And like I say, you know, here it would have cost us more to open trench through the creek than do this method, because we would have had to divert the water and things like that. So all in all, this was a lower cost, but we wouldn't want to do this on every project because most of our projects were digging up the street and we have that trenching capability available. Mm-hmm. And then on the miscellaneous general fund, we had a couple projects I just wanted to point out. We resurfaced the City Hall parking lots around here, and we reconstructed the parking lot down on Larkin just down the street. These are city-owned parking lots that we did. And the City Hall parking lot, it wasn't a reconstruction, it was a surface treatment. It holds the pavement back together, gets a few more years of life out of it. It's less expensive than reconstruction, but it gets us another several years of life out of the parking lot. And I just wanted to show a nice image of that parking lot. We did all of them around the City Hall building here over the summer. So the resolution attached for your consideration is to receive and file this report. And that's all I have.
Any questions
for Josh?
Zero sewers, so you won't tear up your, you won't have the need to tear up your nice pretty streets because we've got bad sewers underneath?
That, these projects were programmed prior to the storm sanitary report, but as we update the capital improvement plan, we are looking at that. And so the streets here that we did, I don't believe any of them were on the top priority list of having construction projects for sanitary.
So far.
Okay. So, yes. Well, from that report, none of them lined up. So,
okay.
But future projects, and as we talk about, get into the capital planning phase, we've been adjusting things to accommodate for that.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Thank you. All right, thanks very much. Any comments from the public? All right, Selena, would you please read the resolution?
This resolution receives and files the 2018 Construction Progress Report.
And we have a motion to accept the resolution.
Accept.
Second.
All right, any discussion? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Uh-huh. Aye.
Opposed? All right, that passes 3-0. That takes us down to new business. Mr. Kay, do you have any new business on the...
No, ma'am.
Okay. We our next meeting is scheduled for January 14th. This is our last meeting of 2018. We will be having our strategic planning session, our annual planning session, on the 12th. For council, and it's hard to believe, 2018, done.
Yeah.
Wow, amazing. So, thank you for that. Any new business from any of you?
No.
Well, we wish everyone a very wonderful last Christmas and a very happy new year, and we look forward to seeing you all in 2019. Can we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, we're adjourned.
This program is presented by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland, Michigan. This presentation coincides with programming on Midland Government Television, covering government affairs in the City of Midland.